And welcome, everyone, to another edition of BAMS Radio here on this early Sunday evening, August the 19th, as we're going to have scrimmage recap number two with the Alabama Crimson Tide and Coach Nick Saban preparing for the 2018 season. I'm your host, Judy Armin, with Thomas Watts, my co-host and producer extraordinaire, does so much as the wizard behind the curtain for BAMS Radio. And our third amigo, of course, as always, William Redfish Barger, from 1989 to 93, a member of the Crimson Tide, All SEC freshman team for the University of Alabama, and a 1992 national champion. Good evening, gentlemen. William, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Drew. How are you doing?
Doing well, and we're all hearing a lot of buzz coming out of scrimmage number two. Looks like instead of being Spinks Tyson, this was Ollie Frazier a little bit between the quarterbacks. They both had very good days according to what we are hearing, The most unfortunate news coming out, though, is what happened in Friday's practice. William did not get a confirmation until Nick Saban informed the media and went on one of his classic legendary rants. And that is, unfortunately, a young man that had a great spring and was having a really good fall camp, Chris Allen, ACL out for the season. Once again, the linebacker core being decimated by injuries.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a concern. I mean, I think when you look at the fall camp that they've had, you lose Terrell Lewis early, Matt Womack last week, and now on Friday, Chris Allen. You just have to hope that, nothing severe happens to Christian Miller and Anthony Jennings, and now it's, kind of a next man up, scenario that I think will probably be maybe a combination of, in a run situation, maybe Jamie Mosley, but I think the obvious guy that's going to come in and, fill in on obvious pass situations is the true freshman phenom, Ibaye Anoma.
I don't think there's any doubt that Anoma is going to be a factor. As a matter of fact, coming from Nick Saban, he did say that Anoma and Jerez Parks, it's going to be very important to develop them now. He said that Anoma right now can, rush the passer on third down as part of the Rabbits. But the key is he and Jerez Parks have pretty much throughout their high school careers been with their hand in the dirt and rushing the passer, just rushing. They have not had to drop. They have not had to squeeze the quarterback, play, assignment and coverage or contain. And as he said, they make the same mistakes over and over again. But he said they're just going to have to be patient and develop the young players. And also, William, thank you for mentioning Matt Womack as the swing tackle. He is now out for 6 weeks. He broke the same bone in his foot on Thursday. So the swing tackle would likely be a guy like Scott Lashley, who up to this point, honestly, has been a disappointment. He's going to have to toughen up. And another injury where they need him back. He's not a guy that's going to be a superstar playmaker, but he's a program guy that can teach the young players and will be in the right place at the right time. They certainly need Jamie Mosley back from his separated shoulder before Louisville.
Yeah, and I think, they've got, Saturday was the last full-scale scrimmage. They'll obviously still go best on best, at least next week before they start their full-scale, game prep. The following Monday, but I think there's more panic I think than there needs to be. Now if something were to happen to either Jennings or Miller or either Moses or Wilson, then maybe that's the time that the panic needs to come in. But there's so many talented guys on this squad. That might be the way that this thing ends up working out as the season goes on. You might need the offense to be a little bit more dynamic and explosive and score more points than, just relying on the defense to, constrict everybody out and not give up a lot of points week in and week out.
Yes, without a doubt. No question. And it's going to be really interesting to see, how this defense comes along. As I've told people, this is going to have to be a different style of football team, especially after seeing them live yesterday. When the folks that did see that scrimmage, from talking to sources, it's definitely a team that's deep on offense and experienced and explosive. From what we're hearing, both quarterbacks, You played well. Tua once again was, outstanding. He kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start from what we hear. You know, the first drive, he converted a third and long to Jerry Jeudy with a perfect throw over the middle. And then, they were able to drive, get into field goal range. And then, one of the highlights of the scrimmage from what we hear, Austin Jones, he kicked a 50-yard field goal. And from what I understand, it had room to spare. So he did a really nice job making that kick, and that's very encouraging. We hear Joseph Belovis. He also kicked well. He had one short one blocked by Trevon Diggs, but still, overall, place kicker seems to be a pretty good battle. Though right now, if I had to guess what the roles would be for these guys, it would be Austin Jones being the field goal kicker, and then Joseph Belovis being the kickoff guy, and there'd be a role for both of them. But certainly, it's been encouraging. Much better position than they were in a year ago, even though Papanastas ended up having a pretty good year, certainly, and J.K. Scott handled kickoffs and punts. But, I thought Jalen Hurts played well. He got off to a really good start. From what I understand, within the first half hour, he had like 200 yards passing because he hit a deep ball to Jalen Waddle, deep ball to a guy like Devonta Smith. Neither one of those were touchdowns from what I understand, but it set up a short field goal and then a touchdown run of about from a couple yards out from Josh Jacobs. So very encouraging that Jalen played much better because, William, as we talked about last week, he was not very good and probably had his worst scrimmage the week before. But to bounce back and probably have his best scrimmage since A-Day 2 years ago, that's pretty significant. And it keeps the conversation going. I do think Tua has won this position because he certainly finished strong yesterday from what we hear, but certainly encouraging that Jalen Hurts came out and played well.
Yeah, and I think it continues the narrative that we've been talking on this podcast for, 6 months now. I expect Tua to take the first snap versus Louisville, but I do think Jalen's going to play. I don't know how they're going to distribute those reps, but like we've talked about, for 6 months now, that there's really, when you look at the schedule, there's really no reason to, dictate a full-time starter until maybe Ole Miss or even possibly Texas A&M on September the 21st. So, I think having both guys available, creates, more of a problem for opposing defensive coordinators. Again, this is just me projecting. Nobody's paying me $11 million a year to come up with this thought. But what my thought would be if I was Nick Saban is, you bring Tua out there. This is if the defense can hold up their end of the bargain, and I certainly think they can through September and October. You get up by 20-something points. You bring the quarterback in that's not going to make the mistakes, maybe not throw pick sixes and stuff or take, bad sacks like Tua has shown that he's done. And then you bring the guy in that's going to, run things and kind of ride the game out. And I think that's a great recipe to have as an offensive team going into the season, especially with, for the last 11 years, how good the Alabama defense has been. And, that's why I've said all along that despite being the leading candidate for, the Heisman Trophy, like Vegas has Tua at right now, I think personally, a guy like Damian Harris or one of the other running backs are going to get more touches. And they might end up being the better Heisman Trophy candidate because we all know that Nick Saban's not going to let Tua throw the ball 50 times in the first half. That's just not in his DNA. That's not who he is. And you saw in the national championship game in the second half what the threat of his arm produced, and that was Najee Harris getting 11 yards per carry.
It really did. And before we bring Thomas Watson into the conversation, I wanted to say, too, that from what we understand, Jalen Hurts did throw two touchdowns, including one to Jalen Waddle, we can let Thomas comment on that because Waddle, from what we understand, put on a show, and then he also had another touchdown pass later in the scrimmage to Henry Ruggs. But Tua Tagovailoa ended up with 3 touchdown passes, the only one in red zone work on a nice throw to in the back of the end zone to Derek Keefe between 2 defenders. Keefe makes a sliding catch. And then he also had just the 2 best throws, I think, of the day. The dagger to Xavion Marks from about 60 yards out right after Jalen's throw to Henry Ruggs, from what we understand. I think those were back-to-back, according to sources. And then before that, I thought the best from what I was hearing, and that was a post pattern, a perfect one to Mr. Jalen Waddle again. But Thomas, wanted to bring you into the conversation. We are certainly hearing a lot about Mr. Waddle. He's been someone we've talked about quite a bit. And I just being, talking to some sources this afternoon before our podcast, the term superstar was used on more than one occasion.
And again, going off what we hear, it's completely justified. You know, Jalen Waddle, to paraphrase William, best offensive player on Alabama's board this past year, comes in and, from everything we hear, has, if not absolutely running with the ones, he'll be the first or second guy off the bench, depending on the set. You know, Tyrell Shavers, another guy, if you really get into it with the folks that went to the scrimmage yesterday, he saw some run in there. So the other thing we haven't heard, we haven't seen yet, and just to clarify for fans, scrimmages, they do punts and kickoffs and whatnot, but it's in shells, just like A-Day. So, you know, no tackling. So you didn't get to see that part of Jalen Waddle's game. But one of the things where he was truly electric being recruited was in that area too. So in terms of, you know, if you want to pencil in a guy as a true freshman to make a huge contribution to this Alabama offense from multiple facets, multiple ways of doing things, you know, you should probably pencil in Jalen Waddle there. And that's really exciting because the 3 super sophomores are still around. And, you know, playing off some of the injury news on the defense, this team is starting to feel a little bit, just a little bit, like the 2014 Alabama team that was thrown for the end zone against Ohio State. And that Ohio State team was really, really good in the first year of the playoff.
Yep.
I don't think this defense is going to be able to hold teams, you know, to, you know, under 20 like they've done in almost every case over the past 3 years. I would expect more, you know, potential 45-24 type games. And that's okay, because given what we've heard, again, going off sources, this offense has been effective, particularly yesterday when both quarterbacks in the quarterback competition were effective throwing touchdowns, throwing long passes. So, you know, maybe a team like Missouri, who will have a really, really good offense this year behind their quarterback, Drew Locke, maybe they're willing to Bryant-Denny and score 31, 35 points. But this offense could very easily drop 60 on a team like Missouri. So if that's the sort of thing you have to look forward to as an Alabama fan, it's a pretty good spot to be, if you ask me.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, as I said, they're going to have to be a different style. They're going to have to play to their offense, score, get up big on teams like those 99 St. Louis Rams that won the Super Bowl, and then play with a lead and play a lot of young players and try to develop their defense, because they do have a really good first 11, 12, 13, 14, but they don't have a lot of depth. And, you know, they're going to need to play those frontline guys, and then when they can, get them rest, you know, make sure they keep them healthy, especially for the stretch run, because we know in the SEC it's certainly going to be a grind. You know, you're going to have to perhaps potentially play in that SEC championship game, then play in a semifinal and in a championship game. So Alabama just needs to stay healthy. They've had, unbelievably bad luck with their linebackers the last 2 years. It started again, but hopefully they can have some luck going forward. But I wanted to go back to something William said that was very interesting about the running backs. We hear, once again, Josh Jacobs had the best day for the second straight time, a 20-yard touchdown in addition to that 2-yard run I already mentioned. He caught the ball really well. Damien Harris, as expected, only got a few carries. They know what they have with him. He's going to be the starter. Najee Harris still recovering from that foot injury. Should be ready by Louisville from what we hear. But then you saw Brian Robinson got some work. Once again, as we heard last week, Jerome Ford had moments. But I wanted to ask William, depending on how quickly Najee Harris is healing, could we potentially see them not rush him back and wait maybe until that SEC opener against Ole Miss on the road, and then see more out of Josh Jacobs and perhaps Brian Robinson to go along with Damian Harris? What are your thoughts on that? Because we certainly know all these guys are talented.
No, I absolutely think that's a possibility. And I think, you know, Thomas touched on something, you know, with Jaylen Waddle. And this is something that I always go back to on the quote-unquote disappointing 2018 Alabama recruiting class. You've seen the guys that were, you know, predicted by the experts already factor in early and often from that class. You know, Jaylen Waddle was the number one offensive player on Alabama's board. They got him. You know, Ibaye Anoma was the number one overall defensive player on the board. I think he's going to have a huge role on this team this year. I thought he would have one even before the injury to Chris Allen. And then the number one DB in the country and Patrick Surtain, who is already starting to kind of establish dominance at the, you know, the star position, the same way that Minka Fitzpatrick did in 2015. You know, that class last year that a lot of people want to ding and act like it was a disappointment, that needs were met. You know, they got their number one guy on offense, number one guy on two number one guys on defense, and possibly their number one target at the defensive tackle position in Christian Barrymore. You know, I think there's been way too much panic by the Alabama fan base. And you know, look, I don't see the same point totals being thrown up that some other people do. I don't see this defense giving up 20 to 30 points a game. You know, it's not going to be a constrictor defense like 11 or last year where they held people to 9 points a game, but it's going to be, you know, somewhere between the 14 and maybe the 21 point game, even to an offense like Drew Locke at Missouri. I can tell you right now what's going to happen versus Missouri. Missouri may put up 21 points, but Alabama would be able to run you know, slant 36 for, you know, 45 points against that team. It's way too early for people to be cashing out and thinking this is going to be some sort of liability for the Alabama football program.
Well, I agree with that. I think this defense will come into its own by midseason, especially if they can keep the top guys healthy, no doubt about that, you know, and their first unit, because their first unit is still going to be extremely good. I mean, even with these injuries, William already brought up the fact that they've got that foursome of Anthony Jennings and Christian Miller outside, both NFL players, and then two NFL guys, high draft picks, Dylan Moses and Mack Wilson. Hearing Mack Wilson and Dylan both were very solid yesterday. I don't think Miller and Jennings played a lot, but from what I understand, but that's not surprising. You know, they were trying to develop, you know, Parks and Anoma and get them more and more reps, and I think that's what going forward, that's what they're going to try to do, no doubt. But also, William, I wanted to ask you about the offensive line. Your point of expertise. It sounds like the first group was yesterday what we had seen in the media viewing period and read about. It was center Ross Pierce Baker, Jonah Williams, left tackle, left guard Lester Cotton. That was expected, but it does look like it's very, very likely at this point for Alex Leatherwood to be at right guard and Jedrick Wills to be at right tackle.
And, you know, I think that's probably a good thing for this 2018 team, because, you know, you're getting some cross training over there between Leatherwood and Wills. You know, I don't know if that's going to be the permanent lineup, because, you know, if something were to happen to Jonah Williams, like you saw in the national championship game, you know, Leatherwood's going to go back to left tackle. Then you're going to have some shifting there, you know, on the right side. You know, does Will stay at right tackle? Maybe a fully healthy Matt Womack, depending on when that injury might or may not occur. You might see, you know, Will slide into right guard and Womack come in at right tackle. So they've got options there, and I think that's a great thing. You know, if you look at that second team offensive line, and how they've ripped out during fall camp, I think to me that the only really unknown factor there is Scott Lashley. I think those other four guys, Casher, Deontay Brown, all of them have kind of gotten a lot of first team reps during the course of fall camp. But, the one guy there I think that's still an unknown is, I feel comfortable saying right now, if something were to happen to Jonah Williams, they wouldn't answer the call with Scott Lashley. It would be sliding Leatherwood back over to left tackle. But that's a good problem to have because they're building depth and, they're in uncharted territory right now with the talent and the depth that they have on that offensive line. It's a good thing. It's not a negative. And yeah. However that shakes out over there on the right side, I always say that I think Leatherwood has got more of the right tackle body and measurables, and Jedrick is more, he's a little bit more compact than Leatherwood is. So whether, Brent Key decides that one guy's the better right guard or the right tackle, it doesn't really matter to me. Where it would come into play is if something were to happen with Jonah Williams.
Yeah, that's a good point because we could see, as you said, lastly, what right now I guess be the swing tackle, but more than likely would be Leatherwood to left tackle, and then somebody along the lines of a Deontay Brown or a Josh Casher would be in there at guard since Matt Womack is hurt. If Matt Womack were healthy, you might see Matt Womack at tackle and Jedrick Wills at guard. But as we've said, he re-injured his foot. They're saying a 4 to 6 week injury for that young man. We certainly feel for him. He played well last year for the University of Alabama. And William, you did mention the number, the twos. We'll go for our listeners. From what we understand, the twos along that offensive line, you mentioned most of them. Chris Owens is the backup at center right now. The left guard, Josh Casher. And he's still certainly, of course, a guy that's received first-team reps, as you mentioned. And then right guard Deontay Brown. And if he can continue to drop weight, he has a lot of natural talent. Scott Lashley at left tackle. And then a small surprise at right tackle, but this is due to the injury to Matt Womack, who throughout fall camp until this injury this week had been the swing tackle and the backup right tackle. It is Tommy Brown, the true freshman from Mater Dei High School, in California. So his development has been accelerated, as William said, trying to develop depth, and of course potentially losing three starters heading into next season with Ross Piersbaker being a senior, Lester Cotton, and whether or not Jonah Williams returns for his senior year. He could declare for the draft or he could come back, but there's potential loss of three guys, so they certainly need to continue to recruit and to develop depth, no question about that. So I think that first team is pretty well decided along that offensive line. Now they just need to keep them healthy and protect Tua and Jalen that's the utmost of responsibility. They've got to protect the quarterback and keep them healthy. Certainly, we believe Tua is the starter. He has not turned the ball over in any of the scrimmages, either one. Jalen Hurts bounced back, did not have any turnovers yesterday, and would be a very, very solid backup at this point. From what we understand, not a lot of action out of Mac Williams, Jones, sorry. He got a little bit of action, but he's the third guy. And then, just a couple of series from Lane Hatcher and Braxton Barker. So the top two QBs saw the majority of the action with Tua Tagovailoa getting that start. And then rotating with Jalen Hurts, but Tua really finishing strong, and then Jalen having his best scrimmage in a long time. Of course, that does raise concerns about the depth on defense, but that's something that will continue to get better as the season goes along because, as I've also said, this defense will not have to face the surgeon, as I call Tua, during the regular season, during games. Tua is certainly a unique talent at the quarterback position, someone that can make NFL throw after NFL throw and is very, very good. And so, just don't like William said, don't panic. This is still going to be a really good defense, I think. But you got to remember, Tua also made this defense look bad last year at times. They were a very, very good unit. Of course, that story that has been leaked this week, we already heard, we've talked about it on the show, those three practices when Jalen Hurts had the flu, where Tua took all the reps in New Orleans, and now Nick Saban admits to the media this week, 54 out of 58 is what he went in those three practices, which is insane considering that was a veteran secondary with the likes of Minka Fitzpatrick, Anthony Averett, and Levi Wallace in it. So he's a unique talent. It's a, you know, certainly an exciting time to be an Alabama fan, and this offense seems to have unlimited potential. To go back to something we previously talked about, Devontae Smith had that long catch early. He was targeted again. He kind of got, from what we understand, shaken up. It's a little bit of an ankle situation. He left and then came back did not take any more reps. But, Thomas, I know you mentioned this previously. We are hearing a lot of good things about Terrell Shavers, and that's big for Alabama as they start developing him and Jalen Waddle getting acclimated quickly, even hearing about the big play from Xavion Marks and a touchdown from Keith. This is a wide receiver room right now that's got seven guys. That's very encouraging.
It absolutely is. And now the question becomes, you know, how it's kind of like this past season with the running backs. There's still only one ball. And unfortunately or fortunately, some of the scuttlebutt that came out at the end of last year was frustration in that wide receiver room with Jalen Hurts' inability to distribute the ball. So there's a lot of talent, and I'm sure there are probably 100 schools that would love to have this Alabama first world problem. Now it becomes the curiosity is there's still only one ball, and everybody has the ability to make plays. Does some kind of frustration set in? I somehow doubt it, as long as everybody feels like if they go out and run a precise route and get open, Tua will be able to find them. But that feeling, that has to crystallize. You know, I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, you know, be the voice of, you know, cautious, I don't know, on the show. But it's a good thing that wide receivers are developing. And it's certainly a great problem to have seven or eight guys, because, you know, think about it. You've got the super sophomores, you've got Tyrell Shavers, you've got Jalen Waddle, and let's keep going down the list. That we haven't even talked about guys like Irv Smith, who, based on, you know, I had a guy send me a text message from the scrimmage, he had one crazy catch and run. Miller Forrestall, who tore an ACL last year, is back, and you know, a guy that I believe was reported to have two touchdowns in last week's scrimmage in Kedrick James. You know, that's just more guys for Alabama to put out in patterns to catch balls. It's a great situation to be in for this Alabama Crimson Tide coaching staff. And, you know, I thought Mike Locksley did a great job holding the team together during some, let's call it unpleasantness towards the end of the year. And I expect him to be able to carry on that this year. So it's a good spot to be in for this entire pass-catching group, wide receivers and tight ends, Drew.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. And we are hearing that Irv Smith probably made most of those plays with that group. Now, Hale Hinches, when they went with one tight end, he did start. And then he did most of his damage with the twos and some with the threes. But Kedrick James made another couple catches. And just from people we're speaking with, Kedrick James, with another year of development, certainly Hale Hinches is a senior. Irv Smith has earned the trust of the coaches, but they feel like he has the most talent of anybody in the in the tight end room. And they feel like within a year, he is going to be the perfect combination for them as far as an every down type tight end, because Irv Smith is a good blocker, but he is a little bit smaller than a guy like Hinches or James. They think James can develop into that all-around tight end. They certainly like Miller Forrestall as an H-back type, and they certainly like Irv Smith, especially the fact that he can make guys miss. He's shifty. He's kind of a perfect hybrid H-back and regular tight end. He's kind of the perfect. He's between both of them, but certainly with so much talent, and he will be back next year as well. So the only one they'll be losing out of the group would be Hale Hinches, and they would still have Major Tennyson, and they're certainly going to sign the young man out of Chicago to be a part of the class, in the 2019 group. So tight end's going to be loaded. They've got a lot of weapons there. Hopefully that position will be more utilized under Dan Enos. We know he loves tight ends, and with Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback. So You're right, Thomas. There's a lot of possibilities there for a lot of big plays to be made, and it's a group that's really coming along nicely, and I think they can be a big factor, especially in the red zone down there, and then on these third and fives and things like that, they're going to be tough to stop. I think moving the chains, no doubt about it. But now to go back to you, William. You know, obviously this defense is going to be a work in progress, but I think one thing we are continuing to hear, you've talked about him ad nauseum, Quinnen Williams. He's been playing inside quite a bit, doing a great job. They've got Isaiah Bugs. They've got Raekwon. As expected, I don't think there was too much action between Isaiah and Raekwon. You know, they know what they have there, but still we're hearing a lot of good things about LeBryan Ray and even Johnny Dwight, Tavita Masika. I think Coach Cool is starting to develop his defensive line into a pretty nice group.
Yeah, and I think it all starts and stops with Raekwon Davis. I mean, let's not forget what we saw in the spring, and we heard from sources about him being unblockable, talking about Raekwon Davis. You know, and I would relate that back to, you know, the same thing that we've heard from, you know, Ibaye and Noma. You know, during fall camp, you know, the only guy that can handle both of those guys one-on-one is Jonah Williams. So there's a pretty good chance that not a lot of other teams are going to be able to block him one-on-one. So, you know, when you've got a guy that you know, is kind of the alpha dog up front in Raekwon Davis, and you've got another guy that some people think, and Isaiah Bugs, that's a late-round, first-round draft pick, and then the next guy up, and Quinnen Williams, and then you've got those two former five-star linebackers inside and Mac Wilson and Dylan Moses. I mean, you know, there's a lot of unneeded panic, in my opinion, from the Alabama fan base about what this defense, you know, can and can't do. I mean, I get it. You know, there's still the unknown about how Tosh LePoy can handle the calls, but the talent is certainly there. And the schedule dictates that there's a chance for it to continue to develop throughout the course of September and October. And that's the way I expect it to play out. I mean, you know, you've got, a Noma, you got Patrick Surtain, you got another guy like Josh Jobe that could factor in. You know, there's plenty of bodies there for, you know, that Alabama defense. You just have to hope that there isn't another season-ending injury with the outside linebacker group that encompasses right now Christian Miller and Anthony Jennings being the alpha dogs there.
Yeah, they certainly are the alpha dogs, and no doubt about that. I think Miller's going to be one of the big-time team leaders. Anthony Jennings going to SEC Media Days. Both those guys are going to be very, very important. And, William, I also think it's going to be important to continue to develop the backup inside backers. You know, Markel Benton flashed a little bit yesterday, from what I understand. He's somebody that's a redshirt freshman from Central Phoenix City that they're counting on. Also, we know that they like Jalen Moody. He's just a young true freshman, but he has shown a lot of potential already. And then Joshua McMillan, much like Jamie Mosley, is going to be a program guy, someone that they can trust, that should know the defense, help the others learn it as well. He will be solidly in that rotation and getting a few snaps per game. And then talking to people about what they saw out of Brandon Alekeho. Alekeho is a guy that he did look from what he was well put together, a legit 220 pounds. He'll certainly put more weight on as Coach Scott Cochran gets him and is able to transform him. But there was a lot of rumors about weight loss and about some maybe not coming in as physically ready as some were hoping, but that seems to be false. Just different people that saw him said he looked really good physically, very quick, very fast, just has to learn that defense. But I'm going to be really excited to see kind of how those young guys develop behind Mac Wilson and Dylan Moses.
No, and I would agree, and I think the label that you heard when you know, the KU, transfer came into play was, you know, that he was suffering from massive depression over the lack of getting into Washington. that, you know, he had, you know, had a breakup with his girlfriend, and, you know, had lost a lot of weight and stuff. And, you know, the pictures that I saw from the first 2 weeks of him being at Alabama, if that's depression, and that's getting broken up with your girlfriend, I'll sign up for that body tomorrow.
Great point. No question about that.
You know, you hear all this stuff, and, you know, it's all rumors on the internet, Drew, and you just, you when you sit there and you see the finished product live, you're like, you know, how was this ever considered a negative? But you know, I think this Alabama team, this 2018 Alabama team, it's loaded on offense. You know, you all know the working parts. It's the three former five-star wide receivers. It's you know, Tua Tagovailoa with you know, Damian Harris, Josh Jacobs, and Najee Harris, you know, at the running back positions, with that big, strong Alabama offensive line up front. And, you know, then you've got the, you know, the front seven guys that are so elite. You know, I get it. I understand the you know, the question marks about, you know, can Tosh Lapoy make the calls at the right time? But I'm going to say that he can. But I just don't understand the hesitation or the angst of Alabama fans, you know, going into this first game versus Louisville. This game will be over with at halftime. I promise you it will be.
Well, it's going to be interesting, too. And I was going to bring Thomas back into the conversation because of the secondary. A lot of young guys back there. They lost all six starters. It still looks like they do like their top five. Certainly Savion Smith and Trevon Diggs. Savion right corner, Diggs left. And then as Xavier McKinney, who I'm hearing so much good things about from the standpoint of leadership, preparation. Xavier McKinney, the sophomore from Roswell, Georgia. And then the redshirt junior, Deontay Thompson at the other safety. And then Shaim Carter at the nickel. And then what's interesting, Thomas, is we had seen Shaim with the safeties during the media viewing period this week. And now from what we understand, what that was the foreshadowing of is, of course, Daniel Wright has a shoulder injury. He's a little bit limited. Certainly Jared Maiden has improved. But it looks like with Shaim Carter's versatility, they would like him to be the third safety. And when they go to dime, you would see Patrick Surtain Jr. At the nickel spot. But we know these guys are young. They're going to make mistakes. But it looks like that's what they'd like to do as of right now with their top six DBs.
And Drew, I've heard very similar. And just to touch on a guy like Pat Surtain, it was never a question of him being able to contribute for Alabama, maybe even this year. It was a question of when the proverbial light bulb would go on enough to where coaches would trust him to go out there.
Right.
And he's already managing to work his way into certain packages, which great. And I think there's confidence that they have a good group for the first group. And the second group is full of young guys, full of guys that have been on campus for the grand total of 3 months, by and large. So with all of those parts going on, yeah, they need some seasoning. Again, looking at this team, you expect a large portion of contributions to come out of the 2017 group and the most recent 2018 group. And in both of those cases, they're fantastic athletes. They're proving themselves to be very good football players, but like most 18 or 19-year-olds, whether it's studying computers like I deal with every day, it seems, or playing football, they just need some seasoning. Now, how do they get seasoning? Well, they get in scrimmages, for one, but then they occasionally make boneheaded mistakes in a game, and they get corrected, and they don't do it again. So, you know, I understand, William, to your point, the Chicken Littles of the Alabama fan base, where, you know, oh, because of the bad pass rush and the young secondary, Alabama's just going to start losing games left, right, and center. No. There will be an occasional headache, and somebody will make a mistake, and the vein on Nick Saban's forehead will come out a few more centimeters after they make the same mistake again, but that's okay. That should be expected this year. And again, it's not a bad spot to be in. And even if, you know, the sky does fall for a weekend, the offense is still going to be flying along at a very high level, being able to hit you from a multitude of positions. So, you know, if they're going back to what I said about the wide receivers, Drew, there are 100 football programs that would absolutely kill for even two or three of the guys that Alabama's going to deploy, let alone all six.
Yeah, I don't think there's any great doubt. Yeah, go ahead, William.
No, I was just going to say, great point. You know, that's the thing that I love to go back to with my Georgia fans about the second half of the Alabama Georgia National Championship is that basically they got roughed up and murked by Alabama's second team offense. I mean, you had Alex Leatherwood at left tackle, you had Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback, you had Najee Harris plus the three wide receivers. Let's don't discount what this offense can do, especially once this, you know, team, which we're talking about now, kind of transitions from fall camp in the next 2 weeks. That's what's going to happen. It's going to transition from, you know, you had Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa swapping reps. You had the offensive line experiments that you know, involved, especially on the right side with Jedrick Wills, Alex Leatherwood, maybe even Matt Womack. That's all going to settle in, and they're going to get comfortable. There's going to be a permanent product there that settles in, and they're going to have 2 weeks to settle in before they face Louisville. And that's when we're going to have to wait and see what this, you know, 2018 Alabama offense looks like.
There's no doubt that it's exciting to think about. And I think another guy to watch, especially with Daniel Wright with his shoulder situation, I was, you know, told, you know, by some sources that the staff is really high on Kyreek McDonald. He had a near interception yesterday, from what I understand. And Kyreek is a redshirt freshman from James Clements. He may not run as fast as some, but very smart, very instinctive, hard worker. And I think more and more he will get reps and has a very bright future at Alabama. Look for him to be, you know, heavily involved as well. Surtain, and I think has shown an outstanding and studious work ethic to be expected with who his father was and the way he's grown up around football. So these guys are going to make mistakes, but they're very talented. And I think by the middle of the season, this can be a very good secondary once they get on the same page and they become very confident. Because like Nick Saban has said, 10 guys can do the right thing. And if one makes a mistake, you know, certainly it can be trouble for this defense. But I do think it's still going to be a top 20 defense. We're not expecting Alabama to give up a ton of points during the SEC season. Because first of all, this offense is going to be very potent and going to, and be able to be balanced, and they're going to possess the football. But I think also, while, you know, they may give up some big plays, they're also going to make some with Raekwon Davis, with Isaiah Bugs, with this linebacker core, this foursome that they have healthy now, and force some turnovers and put some teams in a bad position, no doubt about it. But to circle back to something we were talking about at the beginning of our podcast, BAMS Radio tonight, just very encouraged by the kickers. As I said, just from what we've heard from the two scrimmages, looks like Temple's Austin Jones is the real deal and it could easily be the starter in this situation. Of course, that's no disrespect to Joseph Belovis. I think he's done a nice job too, but he could, kick off. From what we understand, the punting was not as good as it had been last week, but Mike Bernier, the senior from Bob Jones, who also had a good day last week, was not there. And thoughts and prayers to his family. His mother lost a long-time battle with cancer this past week. So, as expected, not surprisingly, Mike wasn't there. He should be back next week. But Skylar DeLong was a little up and down. But still had some moments, and I still think he's going to be okay. But that's a little bit of a uneasy feeling. But overall, the special teams is probably in as good a shape, and you heard Nick Saban say that this past week, as it has been in a long time. And that's certainly to the credit of Jeff Banks, who was hired away from Texas A&M and pulled the double whammy. He's done a great job coaching, but also recruiting, and I think was a big reason why Jalen Waddle ended up going to the University of Alabama. And certainly Bama fans over the next 3 to 4 years will be thankful for that based on what we've heard out of Jalen Waddle and what he did yesterday, probably the MVP of the scrimmage. But going back to you, Thomas, I'll bring you in. You've seen the disaster that Alabama's kicking game has been in the past. What are your thoughts on what you heard about the kicking game? And I'm hearing that it's very solid right now, as solid as it's been in a while, but just your thoughts on what you're hearing from that third phase.
Well, you know, the Alabama field goal kicking concept, the team over the past, you know, call it almost since Nick Saban came there, but that's a bit of a stretch, has been a lot less solid and a lot more Jesus take the wheel. I admit, you know, looking around, talking to some folks, there was someone shot me a message. Yeah, man, Alabama made a 50-yard field goal, and my immediate reply was bullshit. But this is pirate radio. We can say those things. But you know, all joking aside, it's very encouraging. You know, Nick Saban, as a football coach, is so big on complementary football. Offense plays a certain way to protect the defense. The defense plays a certain way to protect the offense. And the kicking game plays a certain way to set both of those up, sets the table for success, whether it be good punts with solid coverage or scoring opportunities, et cetera, et cetera. And there will be football games where it will come down to field goals or a kick or something like that. And the more faith that the coaches have in that unit, the better. And for water cooler fans, same concept. Not as big a deal, but the same concept. So, you know, what is a good kick? You know, being able to send a field goal kicker out and feel confident inside a 40 and at least have, you know, a toss-up 50, 60, 70% shot beyond that. Well, the offense is going to get inside the opponent's 30 pretty often. I think everybody on the show would agree to that. Well, you know, you only have to get inside the 30 a couple of times to get 6 points, and 6 points will win you a lot of football games, everything else being even. So, for place kicking, very positive. The punting situation, what I heard, Drew, was Skyler DeLong had a couple of boomers where he just completely outkicked his coverage, but he kicked it into he kicked it almost into Northport, and then a couple that were painfully off the side of his foot, and suddenly, you know, Nick Saban's hat goes flying, and they're colorful metaphors, and they had to do it again because they did it wrong. So, remains to be seen with punting, but in terms of place kicking, you have to feel really good that instead of, great, Alabama's kicking another field goal, you have, okay, Alabama has a good chance to make this field goal this year. So, not all roses, but certainly more positives than negatives based on what I heard.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I guess as we're winding down Bam's radio, I wanted to go over my grades from what I heard from the scrimmage and get both of your inputs on this and your thoughts. And first we'll go to William and then we'll go to Thomas. Just from what I heard, I would give the quarterbacks an A. I think both of them were very good, and I know five played, but the top two that are going to see the majority of your reps probably this season, with Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts, should no attrition happen, and I think with those two guys, that's your solid 1 and 2. Wide receivers an A-. Certainly there were a couple of drops, but still a lot of big plays made by these young men. Running backs a B, because they did have there was a fumble by one of the backups, and certainly they didn't run the football a lot, so it's hard to give them an A. So they did run the football more than last week, from what I understand, but still not a big feature of the offense. And then the offensive line a B, because they did give up some sacks, and you have to factor in the second unit along with that first group. The tight end's a B because they didn't have a lot of big plays, but certainly from what we understand, Irv Smith did a nice job. Defensive line, a B. I could have said B plus, but certainly when you give up those big plays, when you have to factor in the second and the third groups, it wasn't going to be an A. The linebackers, a solid B as well, even though they did lose Chris Allen and he didn't participate. But certainly when the defense gives up a lot of big plays, it's hard to give a position an A. And then a C minus for the secondary, because I think, as Nick Saban even said, they missed a lot of assignments, especially the younger guys. So that's a work in progress. And then kicking game, a B. It would have been an A, but as Thomas, you just heard him, from what we understand, Skylar DeLong was up and down, while the rest of the special teams was very solid. But William, I just went kind of through some grades that I was giving the squad based on what I was hearing. What are your thoughts on some of that?
You know, I want to wait and see how they match up, you know, with Louisville and mm-hmm. the early teams and their schedule.
And that's just one scrimmage, by the way, everybody. Just for the scrimmage.
No, I understand. But I still think, even with the injuries to some backup guys, that this is the most talented team that Nick Saban has put on the field. And you know, my evidence for that people need to look at is the 2017 recruiting class that encompasses, you know, Tua Tagovailoa, you know, Najee Harris, Jedrick Wills, Alex Leatherwood, the list goes on and on. I think this is going to be, you know, his most talented team, especially offensively. And I think they are going to run people off the field, especially in the first half. And we're going to have to wait and see how Nick Saban, you know, chooses to manage this whole deal. We don't know that at this point. You know, we've got some empirical evidence that you know, shows us from the past how he's done it, but he hasn't been this talented. And I think they are going to absolutely, especially in the months of September and October, leading up to that gauntlet in November with LSU and Auburn. But they got plenty of time to, you know, get it right and you know, get it guided where, you know, people aren't putting balls in windows that can become pick sixes. But I just think they're going to be so much more talented than the teams that they play. I think they're 25 points better than everybody they're going to play up until the month of November.
Very interesting. What about you, Thomas?
Well, individual units, you know, based again off what we've heard, I think the quarterbacks deserve an A. You know, you said it yourself, Drew. Jalen Hurts had 200 yards passing in the first half hour, 45 minutes of a scrimmage. Did Jalen Hurts have 200 yards passing at all last year? I'd have to look, and I don't feel like
once
doing that right now.
Once against Mississippi State.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, step in the right direction there, and Tua keeps doing Tua things. The offensive line, there was a lot, you know, from what I understand, there was a lot of shuffling going around. I'll give it a B. Wide receivers, I actually am going to give them an A because a couple of, given, let's just call it what we've seen, what's on tape of Jalen Hurts. Occasionally wide receivers have to go out of their way to just kind of give him a little help, give him a little assist. So I could certainly see a couple of those passes happening yesterday. Having said all of that, running backs, this wasn't at times, you know, what a couple of people said to me is there was a lot of running, but you didn't really see as much Damian Harris. You know what you have there, and Damian Harris is going to be the first guy, you know, first guy in. Najee Harris is still injured, and so you have a situation where it's almost like you need to give the running backs an incomplete. Josh Jacobs and Brian Robinson are good, but they're certainly not going to see the lion's share of the carries, at least I don't think so. Going over to defense, I thought the defensive line, from what I understand, was very solid. You know, one of the themes that came out was the amount of duress. Even though quarterbacks were completing passes, they were solidly under duress throughout the scrimmage. I think the linebackers, you know, give me a B minus. You know, one thing that I saw a lot of, heard a lot of, was crossers. And so I think we got William getting out of his car. But and then finally, special teams, give me a B-. And secondary, you did give up a lot of yards, even though you're young. So give me, actually, I'm going to be kind of cruel and give them a C-plus there. But again, the team's still settling. It's still settling in. This was essentially everybody on everybody. You know, ones played ones, and ones played twos, and twos played threes, and twos played twos, and twos played ones. So, it, you know, it's not unfair to think that there are going to be some ups and there are going to be some downs. This team is certainly, I agree with William, is 25 points better than Louisville, and I think they're more than that for other teams they're going to play. But, you know, golly, not great spot to be in for this Alabama football team, Drew.
Yeah, it really is. It's a great spot to be in, and we got a small basketball update for everyone. Breaking today, he was never cleared medically to play at the University of Alabama, but he will now be given his full unconditional release and be headed to Baylor to play for Scott Drew, and that is point guard Jared Butler of Reserve High School in the Reserve, Louisiana. He played at a private school there, and was a very good player, but was never cleared medically. He is going to move on. Really good shooter. Was hoping he'd be a part of the program, but Alabama knew this was coming. That's why Kyra Lewis from my area and Hazel Green has, you know, reclassified, finishing high school a full year early. He signed this past Wednesday. He was moving in this weekend and will go to his first day of class on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday at the Capstone. Kyra Lewis from Hazel Green, the five-star combo guard. He will enroll at Alabama and be part of the team this season. A great credit to him and his family for doing that work in the classroom. He's not Colin Sexton, but he has as quick a first step as I've ever seen. He's in the ballpark from the standpoint of going end-to-end, 94 feet. Very explosive athlete. Developing outside shot. It's getting better and better. Good driver, but he's only 160 pounds. Needs Lou Dineen, the strength coach, needs to put some weight on him. He's not as strong as Colin or as polished, but Colin had one more year of high school. But he certainly is a guy that I think in 2 to 3 years can be an NBA player. He'll certainly have an impact on this Alabama team. I think his initial role, he needs to be developed as a point guard. He has not really distributed at Hazel Green. He's been a scorer. I think you'll see Dazon Ingram be the point guard and be backed up by Avery Jr. and then Kyra be used as a scorer off the bench until he develops into that starting point guard. But certainly a quality addition for Alabama basketball. They have a lot of talent coming back. Have a chance to have a very deep team and make back-to-back NCAA tournament runs. So an exciting time to be a part of the Alabama basketball team. And now from my area, North Alabama, there's three stalwarts on the squad. John Petty, who will be a rising sophomore from Jemison High School in Huntsville. Kyra Lewis from Hazel Green. And then the returning senior, he redshirted last year, back from injury, Riley Norris of Albertville. So very excited about Alabama basketball and wanted to give that quick update. And, of course, we really appreciate Thomas Watts and William Redfish Barger for giving their thoughts and the buzz we're hearing from Alabama's second scrimmage. We'll certainly be back next week to further, you know, continue to look at that Louisville matchup, maybe talk some recruiting, hearing some buzz on that end, and continue to talk fall camp. Hopefully these injuries will finally Alabama can dodge that injury bug this next several days in practice as they continue to prepare for that September the 1st opener at Camping World Stadium in Orlando, Florida, against Bobby Petrino's Louisville Cardinals. Coach Petrino coming out this week and saying they're going to beat Alabama. You know, as we said, Dak, that Fitzgerald, their wide receiver, coming out and saying Alabama can't cover them. So certainly this Alabama team will not lack for motivation coming from Louisville. And what I see is, like William said, I see a mauling, and this Louisville team is probably going to regret that they did not keep their mouth shut. But I just wanted to, let everybody know that we appreciate them listening. BAMS Radio is a point of passion for myself and Thomas, and we always appreciate William for taking time out of his busy schedule, especially on this weekend, to come, speak with us tonight and give us the buzz coming from the second scrimmage of fall camp. We'll be coming to you next week. Everybody have, a great week coming up and enjoy it. And we're all getting ready for football. It's definitely in the air. But everybody, good night and roll tide, and we'll talk to you next week.